Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to call the Alaska State Senate to order for the 103rd Legislative Day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence this morning?
The roll shows 18 senators present this morning.
19 senators.
19 senators present this morning. Senator Jones is excused from the call of the Senate today.
We have a quorum here to conduct business. This morning's chaplain is Senator Dick Eliason. Will everyone please stand for the morning prayer?
Madam President, during my tenure as a member of the other body, this Irish blessing was offered by our late friend, Rabbi Danny Potvick. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm on your face. The rain fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.
Amen. Senator Josephson, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Kelly.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that this prayer be spread on the journal.
Hearing no objections, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. Senator Szymanski.
Yeah, I'd also move and ask unanimous consent that the chaplain's fee be donated to the glory hole.
Check. Check. There has been objection, sir.
Oh.
Do you wish to vote on whether the chaplain's fee? Do you withdraw your motion? Senate will stand at ease. Back to order, please. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, there is no fee when a member gives the prayer.
Thank you, sir. Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. Based on that understanding, I withdraw my motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Szymanski. May we have the certification of the journal, please, for the 102nd Legislative Day, Madam Secretary.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 102nd Legislative Day.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 102nd Legislative Day be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary.
Hearing no objections, the journal for the 102nd Legislative Day will be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. We have introduction of guests today. Senator Fisher.
I have to introduce a guest in the back gallery because this person is going to be leaving me pretty soon. And he's been here for the whole session, and he's my expert when I need help on computer operations, my son Matt.
Senator Coggio.
Madam President, the lady that I'm about to introduce was introduced yesterday. However, I would like to take the pleasure of introducing her again because she is typical of the new generation of people that are getting involved in local government. She's sitting on the city council for the North Pole area, for the city of North Pole. I'd like to introduce to the Senate Melissa Bidwell. Melissa.
Senator Sturdzielewski.
Madam President, thank you very much. I'm delighted to introduce two people who we've known professionally, and their giving of their professional talents and working on some couple of very difficult issues, one that's before us now. I'd like to introduce in this gallery an old friend of mine, Bob Flint, who's has been a bond counsel resource to a number of the committees with Wolforth, Flint, and Greening, and Susan Bendio, who is has given a lot of talent in the way of the underwriting resource, and she's with Betcher & Company, Inc., Susan and Bob.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Madam President. I have to go to the other gallery now. On the other gallery, we have two folks from the Kenai Peninsula Borough who are here, and they do have some interest, I would say a great deal of interest, in Senate Bill 150, which is on the calendar today. It's Mr. Reloy, Leroy Barton, who's the finance director of the borough, and also Frank Maglehardy with economic development.
Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Madam President. Also in the gallery behind me is the finance director from the city of Kodiak, Mr. Roy Diebel. I'd like to welcome him to the Senate.
Senator Hensley.
Yes, Madam President. I also have someone to introduce. The North Slope Borough has a few dollars out in bonds, so they need a little bit of consulting now and then. I'd like to introduce Joe Singleton.
Further introductions? Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I see the mayor of the city of borough of Sitka in the far gallery, Dan Peck.
Senator Bennett.
To introduce the mayor of our borough, of North Star Borough, Mayor Juanita Helms.
Senator Crotula, are you going to introduce your mayor again?
Here she is.
Further introduction of guests? It's number five. That's all right. Nobody's counting. Further introduction of guests? Do we have messages from the governor?
Messages of April 29. Dear Senator Fakes, I have read the following resolutions and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Resolution Number 12 relating to the Canadian development of oil reserves in the Arctic. Senate Resolve Number 9. Senate Resolution Number 15 relating to the qualification requirements for school superintendents. Senate Resolve Number 10. Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 16 rules relating to Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Awareness Week. Legislative Resolve Number 10. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 19, amended House, relating to the promotion of the Iditarod race. Legislative Resolve Number 11. Dear Senator Fakes, I have signed the following resolutions and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 18, Transportation, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the construction of the Alaska Highway and requesting the issuance of commemorative postal stamps by the United States Postal Service and the Canada Post Corporation. Legislative Resolve Number 12. House Joint Resolution Number 30, urging the League of Women Voters to consider Anchorage as the site of a presidential debate sponsored by the League. Legislative Resolve Number 13. Messages of April 30. Dear Senator Fakes, Michael Waddell has resigned from the Board of Marine Pilots. Please remove his name from the confirmation list submitted to you on April 13, 1987. And please remove Jan Ackerman, who has accepted a position with the Division of Elections and has subsequently resigned from her position on the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar. Sincerely, Steve Kupiner, Governor. And that is the messages from the governor today.
Thank you. Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
Message of April 30, the House passed and considered and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 91, Hess, by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the mentally ill and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 91 is the companion measure to Senate Bill 97. I'm referring that to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee and the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Chairman, if he wishes to look at that, you have the original Senate referral. If you wish to look at that, you may, sir.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 92, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the Alaska Mental Health Trust and providing for an effective date.
This is the same bill or the companion bill to Senate Bill 96. So this will be also referred to Health, Education, and Social Services Finance Committee. Again, if the Judiciary Chairman wishes to see this bill, please.
That was the only message from the House today.
Do we have communications?
April 7, 1987, from T. David Wu, Jr., Clerk of the Senate of Hawaii. Dear Ms. Fakes, I transmit herewith a copy of Senate Resolution Number 43, SD1, which was this day adopted by the Senate of the State of Hawaii, regular session of 1987. Senate Resolution Number 43, requesting the support of Hawaii's congressional delegation for the restoration of federal funds for ocean research.
I'm referring this to the Resources Committee. Mr. Chairman, you may wish to look at this.
April 22, 1987, from the Local Boundary Commission, Robert O. Eder, Chairman. Dear Senator Fakes, regarding elections by mail, this is to bring to the attention of the State Senate concerns the Local Boundary Commission has regarding the manner in which certain recently enacted amendments to the state election code are being implemented.
This is a two-page letter. I'm referring this to Community and Regional Affairs and Judiciary. They have some very serious concerns here. You too may wish to look at that.
And those were the communications today.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 67, insurance coverage for the treatment of a mental or nervous condition, and recommends adoption of the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Binkley, Chairman, concurring Senators Jara, Duncan, Fisher, Hensley, and Ewing. SB 67 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for calendaring.
The Judiciary Committee considers Senate Bill Number 189, enhancement of a criminal sentence, recommends be replaced with the committee substitute Judiciary with a new title. Attach 3-0 fiscal notes. Senator Curtulo, Chairman, and Senators Rohde, Josephson, and Sturgiluski signed do pass. Senate Bill Number 189 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for calendaring, please.
The Resources Committee considers Senate Bill Number 191, amending the definition of big game guiding and prohibiting compensation of an unlicensed person for guiding, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute, Second Resources, with a new title. Senator Coghill, Chairman, and Senators Sturgiluski and Jones signed do pass. Senators Eliason, Jaroff, and Fisher signed no recommendation. Senate Bill Number 191 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considers Senate Bill Number 195 and recommends adoption of the committee substitute by finance and calendar on May 1. Signed, Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Bennett, and Binkley. This does appear on today's calendar. The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 196, management of state land, and recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute resources. Senator Coghill, Chairman, and Senators Jones and Eliason signed do pass, attached to zero fiscal note. Senators Sturgiluski and Duncan signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 196 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Resources Committee considers Senate Bill Number 200, moratorium on mining loans, recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute resources with a new title. Senator Coghill, Chairman, signed no recommendation, signing do pass for Senators Jones, Eliason, Sturgiluski, Duncan, and Jaroff. SB 200 has a further referral to finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 250, giving effect to the declaration of a qualified patient during pregnancy. Senator Curtulo, Chairman, signed no recommendation. Senator Sturgiluski signed do pass. Senators Josephson and Rohde signed no recommendation. A zero fiscal was attached. SB 250 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Labor and Commerce considers Senate Bill Number 257, Alaska Business License Act, release information obtained under the act, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute LNC. Senator Kelly, Chairman, and Senators Ewing, Eliason, and Szymanski signed do pass, attached a new fiscal note from Revenue. Senate Bill Number 257 has a further referral to Finance. Labor and Commerce considered Senate Bill Number 260, State Procurement Practices and Procedures, and recommends be replaced with a committee substitute LNC. Senator Kelly, Chairman, and Senators Ewing and Eliason signed do pass. Senator Szymanski signed no recommendation. SB 260 has a further referral to finance. The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 19, LNC, title amended, resident hire on federal projects and jobs in the state. Senator Curtula, chairman, and Senators Josephson, Sturgiewski, and Rohde signed do pass. CSHDR 19 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Community and Regional Affairs considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 9, Finn, projected operating and maintenance costs of capital improvements. Senator Sturgiewski, chairman, and Senators Zemanski, Kelly, and Zharoff signed do pass. HB 9 has a further referral to finance. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill Number 122, authority to compromise certain misdemeanors. Senator Curtula, chairman, and Senators Josephson, Sturgiewski, and Rohde signed do pass. House Bill 122 has a further referral to finance. The Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 273, Judiciary, Financial Institutions, and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Binkley, co-chairman, concurring Senators Jarroff, Duncan, Fisher, Ewing, Hensley, and Bennett. CSHB 273, Jude, has no further referral.
Rules Committee, please.
The Rules Committee considered and recommends calendaring on May 1st, Senate Resolution Number 8, Armenian Genocide. Senate Bill Number 150, Bonds Issued for School Construction. Senate Bill Number 162, Fisheries Business Tax Refunds to Local Governments. Signed Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Bennett, Hensley, and Binkley. These do appear on today's calendar, and those are our standing committee reports for today.
Do we have reports of special committees?
The Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 58, Finance Amended, confidential tax information relating to the filing of tax returns, and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute ONG. Senator Fahrenkamp, chairman, signed do pass, and Senator Fisher signed a recommendation. CSHB 58 FinAm has a further referral to state affairs. And those are the, that was the only special committee report.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
We have no new resolutions today.
Do we have introduction of Senate bills?
Senate Bill Number 285 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to leave for district court judges.
State Affairs Committee, Judiciary, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 286 by Senator Curtula, an act establishing the Alaska Education Trust Fund and authorizing advanced tuition payment contracts and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Labor and Commerce, Finance.
And those are the new bills.
Brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Senator Eliason. Without objection, the Senate will stand at ease. You. Senate will come back to order, please. The Senate will come back to order, please. Thank you very much. We are at the consideration of the daily calendar. Senate Bill 150 is the first item on the calendar. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill?
Senate Bill Number 150 by Senators Fisher, Bennett, and Zemanski, an act relating to bonds issued for school construction and providing for an effective date. Health, Education, and Social Services Committee waived referral. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute finance. Senator Binkley, chairman, signed no recommendation. Senators Jarroff, Ewing, and Bennett signed no recommendation. Signing do pass for Senators Fisher, Duncan, and Hensley. Attached to zero fiscal note. There is a committee substitute.
Does the Finance Committee wish to move the committee substitute? Mr. Majority Leader.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee substitute has been adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 150, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to bonds issued for school construction and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 is before us in final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 150, Finance, an act relating to bonds issued for school construction and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Madam President. Presently now, school bonded debt that's outstanding, there is a law that says up to 80% is to be funded by the state. Traditionally, this 80% has never come. It's always been somewhat less. This year, where we run into a problem, the governor is proposing to advance to the municipalities only 36%, which means that he's willing to say that the state should pay 70% of the 80%, which means it's no longer near 80, it's down to 56%. We all know that the municipalities are facing severe revenue crunches, as we are in the state. We know that municipal assistance and revenue sharing are going to be down. We also know that tax revenue at the current mill rate or the current tax rate in most areas are going to be down also. And by that I'm talking about, I know in our particular case, sales taxes are down because people don't have the money to buy, so they're down. Real and personal property values are going down. We can see that in Anchorage. So they're not worth what they were, so the mill rate's going to have to be somewhat changed this year. The municipalities have to seek revenue to satisfy their increased debt and their shrinking income. Now, I agree that, as one, that they need to cut size, and I think they also need to cut as we are. But I believe the amount of cuts cannot be sufficient enough to handle the increased debt that we're going to be giving them at a 56% level. So what the government can also do, the local municipalities, they can easily, which is pretty hard to do, but they can increase the property rate, you know, go from whatever it is, increase the mill rate. They can increase the sales tax rate. And another thing they can do is restructure their school debt, which is one of the biggest outlays of cash that municipalities have. The problem that we're in now is most of the debt that's outstanding is in a 10-year payment or repayment mode. So they never got long-term debt. Now, when you do that, the problem is you have an awful lot of cash outlay, and they don't need that now. They need some kind of relief. Now, to restructure, and that's the bill we have before us, there were actually, Madam President and committee and fellow senators, we went through four different versions of the original Senate Bill 150. The original bill, which I really believed in, that's the one that says it has to go to a vote of the people for the amount of increased debt that we're talking about. And I took the worst case scenario, which amounts to an awful lot of money, and I use my own borough as an example. Worst case, if we were to do it, and I would hope they don't, if we restructured everything, we now owe about $175 million. That's the debt for our schools. And to restructure everything at the worst possible case you could do for 20 years would add $90 million to that debt. And that's the worst case. But the problem with my original proposal, it could not go into effect any restructuring to next year because it had to go to a vote of the people. The current crunch is this year. Now, if we had the full 80% funding this year, then I probably wouldn't even be standing here because we could work something out maybe for the next year through the original bill. Then we had another version that came in from the Department of Revenue. And the Department of Revenue had recommended that what we should look at is allow the municipalities about 20% of the outstanding debt to go and restructure it and keep the state on the payment schedule over the next 9 years, we'll say, so that at the end of the Prudhoe Bay curve, or what we estimate it to be, the state's out of debt, but the municipalities for that extra 20% restructuring, that's all their debt. So they can do with it what they want. And that had a little bit of merit. So we looked at that, and then we had problems whether or not that would even work or whether you can really just take 20% of something and restructure it. So that we ran into a problem. Then we had another version that came in at the request of municipalities. Their request was to basically allow total restructuring, which meant that really if they wanted to go 30 years, they could. If they wanted to take all the outstanding debt and restructure it, they could. And there were problems with that because it's too open-ended. There needed to be some control. Then we come in with the committee substitute, which is before you now. And there were some constraints put in into that particular substitute. And what the constraints are is this. If you have 5 years or less outstanding on any debt, you cannot restructure it. The other constraint is the other that you do restructure, you cannot restructure it over 20 years. So we're not having those 25, 30-year bonded debts out there. So that's the two constraints. Plus, and the municipality came up with this, and that's lines 16 through 17, which, in effect, what it does, it notifies the municipalities. They're on notice that extra debt service from a refunding could be disregarded if funds become scarce. Now, I know that just looks like a lot of words because it's still up to us as to whether we want to in year 15, 16, 17 refund it or not. And chances are in year 11 and 12, they're going to be coming back in and asking for something toward that debt. And that's just natural with the way government works. But I think with all those things there, there is some constraints. I think the bottom line is how much are we willing to trust the municipalities? That's what the bottom line is. If the municipalities go out, and by the way, the debt that's over 6 years is the majority of the debt. I think I need to be honest with you. That's the majority of the outstanding debt. If they go out and wholesale do it, then this might give us a message that maybe the trust level isn't too high. But I, for some reason, have a gut feeling that they're going to be somewhat honest, and they're only going to restructure what they need to get them through this cash crunch in the beginning. Also, Madam President, if we funded the 80% level, those people back there wouldn't be here today. And that's what we were told in testimony in the Finance Committee, that if you guys or this legislature came up with the 80%, we wouldn't be here. But the problem is we didn't come up with it. There is a cash shortage, a cash flow shortage in the municipalities, and they do need some relief. And with that, I guess I do support committee substitute finance.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. Senator Curtula.
Well, governments are not moral, and we don't keep our word. And that's the history of the federal relationship to the state. Many of the independent nations formed within this country, or that had existed prior to this nation's founding. We promised and we committed, and the legislature enacted legislation to provide 80% funding for school construction. Now, we provide 100% into the unorganized areas. We promised the local districts, if they supported, they had a vote, and they supported 20% of school construction, new construction. We encouraged them, in other words, to go out and do this. And we had a rash of development in the north that has benefited the whole state and the state treasury. And the state has a broad tax base, and now we're dumping upon these districts that were impacted by schools, by the need for schools, dumping upon them the need to pick up as much as 50% rather than 20%. I think we're being very unfair, even though this legislation is needed, it shouldn't be needed. And I think one of the things that our finance committees and we collectively must do is to provide a funding mechanism to pick up that whole 80% of the funding for school construction as of up to this time. And I think it's ridiculous that we do anything less. What is more important to government than the schools and a few basic road and transportation services? Seems to me that even by the passage of this, we're letting ourselves off the hook for a commitment we all made.
Thank you, sir. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. I, too, believe I support giving the municipalities the option provided in this legislation, although I hope that not many of them access that option. But I have a question with regard to Section 4 and just in terms of how it technically applies. The Section 4 is a retroactive date to July 1st, 1983. I wonder exactly how that's necessary and how that would work.
Senator Fisher.
I'll try to answer that the best way I can. I should have maybe passed out another sheet that shows the whole when the bond issues were passed out. And some of the bond issues do go from over 10 years also. They weren't always a 10-year bond. And I just happened on my sheet, draw a line down through, and 7183 does fit to the right of that. So I assume that that's part of the portion is going to fit into the restructure. But outside of that, I can't answer your question, Senator Halford, unless somebody else here can.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Majority Leader, without objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to order, please. Senate will come to order. Senator Eliason is seeking the floor. We are on the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 in third reading. We are under debate. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I guess what bothers me just a little is the fact that, as Senator Fisher mentioned, we are not having a referendum on the changing of the bondings. Now, I know in our community, as an example, we bonded for $21 million a couple of years ago. And if, in effect, we had to go to the vote of the people, and I would think that maybe my community would require a vote. I don't know. But maybe they would be required under the Constitution. I don't know that either. But it bothers me when we bring this a bonding proposal before the legislature, which does not call for a vote of the people. And I wonder if we're maybe the Judiciary Committee could enlighten me whether or not we could constitutionally do this.
Thank you, sir. Senator Fisher seeking the floor.
Madam Chair, as I understand it, when you bond for a building, then it goes to a vote of the people. But when you talk about restructuring, it's not bonding for a building, and that's where the hang-up comes in. This is a restructuring, not bonding for a new building.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Further clarification on that is, when you first go out for the debt, you're incurring new debt. You're incurring new principal debt. On restructuring, refinancing, you're not doing that. The principal is not increasing. Therefore, you don't need the vote of the people. All that you may be increasing over a period of time is the amount of interest payment, but not the principal. The principal remains the same.
Thank you, sir. Senator Eliason.
Well, Madam President, exactly right. But the fact of the matter remains is that the people are going to have an additional burden, which they did not anticipate when they first voted on the bond issue. That's the problem.
Thank you. Senator Fahrenkamp, you're seeking the floor.
Madam President, people have an additional expense that they didn't know when they voted on it in the first place. As a former chair of HESS, we worked very hard on this 80%, and we did make a promise. And we have broken that promise, and it's a shame that we're having to take the action that we're having to take today. Had we kept our word, and had we treated the municipalities as we said we were going to, we would not have to be looking at this type of legislation. But we did say and made a solemn promise and had them go out and vote with the understanding that we were going to pay 80% of that school debt. Now those people are hurting, and we need to do everything we can to relieve it. I agree with the senator from Mat-Su. It's a shame that we're having to break our word. And this, to me, is one of should be one of our priorities, is to support our educational systems. But I am a supporter of this legislation, and I hope that we'll pass it and get it moving so we can give them some relief.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. Just two responses. First, to the senator from Sitka, I only answered as far as a constitutional question about whether or not we could restructure without a vote of the people. I agree that it's increased. It may cost people more over the long term because of interest payments, but the principal doesn't change. The principal doesn't increase. As far as our solemn promise goes that we would pay 80%, that's not quite correct. What the statute says, as I recall, is that we would pay up to 80%. We never, solemnly swore that we would pay 80%. In fact, the last time the bill was on the floor to increase it back up to 90% in a period of declining revenues, I voted against it and made some arguments saying I thought it was foolish for us to even give that type of indication to municipalities because we weren't going to be able to follow through. We weren't going to be able to meet that commitment. But we never, ever in statute said we would pay exactly 80% or 90%. It was always up to. I, by the way, am a supporter of this legislation. I think we need to do this. I think we need to allow this. But I just want to make that clear.
Thank you, sir. Senator Ewing. Senator Binkley, you'll be next. Do you still wish to speak? Thank you, sir. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam President. I have some concerns about this bill. I know we followed the bill through the Finance Committee and so on. But I think that the Senate and the legislature has to look at everything on the total package. I thought the senator's comments from Sitka were excellent. in regard to the vote of the people and so on. And this is one of the provisions, one of the versions of the bill that was before us at one time. And it's unfortunate that we're going to take that ability away from the people so they can't vote on this, because there is a commitment out there. There's a commitment out there not only to the municipalities, but also to the state and what its bond indebtedness is. It is. Bond indebtedness right now is declining. It's going down with the Prudhoe Bay oil curve. And what we're going to be doing is increasing it out there to some higher number. That is a concern of mine. It is a concern for what those municipalities are going to have to pay in future years, and we're obligating them for the next 20 years. My only point is, the first, when we had the testimony on it, was that everybody was rushing around and said, well, we've got a May 1st deadline. We've got to get this bill passed. We've got to get it passed. When we re-asked the question just a couple days ago, they said, well, we don't really have to worry about it until June 1st. All I'm saying is the Senate Finance Committee and the members of this body need to look at it as a total package, because the municipal assistance, the revenue sharing, and this bill all fit together. And I think we're rushing the issue, and I'm going to be a no vote on the bill.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion? Senator Sturgalewski.
Madam President, I'm going to support the bill. You know, we do have the strict entitlement programs of muni assistance, municipal revenue sharing, senior citizen tax exemption that have been seriously underfunded. And it's true, this does go with the same package, but the legislature, as a matter of fact, made no attempt to limit this kind of thing that we're sending out, the 80%. And so what happened, our municipalities went out with some $300 million in bonds. And since we, in a sense, didn't send out any cautionary note, and I've seen the kinds of things that go out with the bond issues, the public perception is they're going to get that money back. And what we're doing now, if we don't act on this, is to say to the local municipal assemblies, go out and raise 5 or 10 or whatever it takes in mill rates to meet this, and that's not fair. So I think we've got a rock and a hard place, and I want to commend the senator from the Kenai Peninsula for the amount of work that's been done on this. It is not clear cut. It is not clean. But unless we send a funding mechanism out there that says there has to be some limit so we help avoid this in the future, I think we've got to come in and give them the maximum flexibility on the local level. And I can see the reason on a vote it would be well past the point of time where they could possibly get action so that they could set it for the current financial situation they have. So I support the bill in the present form.
Thank you. Senator Hensley.
Madam President, thank you. I'm going to vote for this bill, the senator from downtown Anchorage is correct. There are other things happening in the legislature. I have being on the subcommittee on the community and regional affairs, we have a rather huge request for an add-on to the governor's budget for municipal assistance and revenue sharing. Now, I'm not certain that if, in fact, this increase is secured, that whether this bill is necessary. Insofar as the immediate crunch is concerned that the municipalities are having to try to wrestle with. With respect to the vote, we're not requiring that in this legislation, which was in the original bill, but I don't suppose that there's anything to preclude a municipality, if the citizenship there so desires, to have a vote on the restructuring.
Thank you, sir. Senator Crotula.
President of the Senate, one, of course, the major urban area had the political strength to get 100% funding for a lot of their school construction, so they don't really suffer the problem of the surrounding areas and the, I believe, Fairbanks, North Star Borough also. That is that the impact of school construction was in the suburban areas, and I think there are three principal areas that impact occurred, and they're the ones that had to drop the bond for that impact, and that was the commuter groups. Many of them, the urban areas, were the beneficiary of their industry and workforce, or at least their transportation intermediary to the North Slope jobs. But the area that I represent in the Donut District was tremendously impacted by the school construction needs that nothing in that area had increased or generated. We were the beneficiary, certainly, of the citizen increase, but we were also impacted by that school construction need. And it, again, came from the largesse of the state in the north's development. And we must have some relief in these three different areas. One of the districts is prominent in that sewer area. Another, I think, is the Kenai area. And another, I think, is the Fairbanks area.
Thank you, sir. Is there further discussion? Further discussion on the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150.
Question.
Question's been called. The question being, shall the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 has passed the State Senate by a vote of 16 yeas, 3 nays, 1 excused. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on the final passage of the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 195 by the Senate Special Committee on AIDS Prevention, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Public Health for the Alaska AIDS Program and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Committee Substitute Finance. With a letter of intent, Senator Binkley, co-chairman, and Senators Jaroff, Duncan, Fisher, and Ewling signed do pass. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends adoption of the Finance Committee Substitute and calendar. Here is a CS.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Finance Committee version be adopted.
Hearing no objections, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 has been adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 195, financed by the Finance Committee, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Public Health for the Alaska AIDS Program and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and place the final passage.
Does the Finance Co-Chair have something? Does he wish to speak, Senator Binkley?
Yes. I apologize, Madam President. There is a letter of intent that we had in Finance also.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
The motion on the floor is to move the Finance Committee CS for Senate Bill 195 from second to third reading. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 is before us for final passage. Please note the letter of intent. Is there any discussion? We'll let the Secretary read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 195, Finance, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Public Health, for the Alaska AIDS Program and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent to the Finance Committee letter of intent for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 195 be adopted.
Hearing no. Senator Kelly.
Madam President, can I ask the Secretary of the Senate read the letter of intent?
Sir, the motion's been made to adopt the letter of intent. Someone's requested that the letter of intent be read. Madam Secretary, will you read the letter of intent?
It is the intent of the legislature that the programs funded by the Division of Public Health for AIDS Education in the public school system be approved by the locally elected school boards to stress abstinence as the only totally effective preventive method and be directed at junior and senior high school students. Parental consent shall be required to participate in AIDS education programs. Funds are not included under this appropriation for the purchase or distribution of prophylactic devices.
Is there further discussion on the letter of intent? Senator Josephson's requested an ease. Hearing no objections, the Senate will be at ease. To order, please. The Senate will come back to order, please. The letter of intent to the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 has been moved. Is there any objections? Hearing no objections, the letter of intent has been adopted. Is there any discussion or debate on the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195? Senator Kelly.
Madam President, the money appropriated to the Division of Public Health will be used to educate the public regarding the spread of the AIDS virus, to develop recommended educational curriculum for Alaska school districts, and strengthen Alaska's AIDS testing program.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion? Question's been called. The question being, shall the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 pass the State Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted?
That's the Republicans out.
Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. So the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 has passed the State Senate by a vote of 18 yeas, one excused, one absent. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask consent that the roll call and final passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 Finance be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on the final passage of the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 195 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 162 by Senator Zaroff, an act relating to fisheries business tax refunds to local government, providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill. Senator Kelly, Chairman, and Senators Elias and Ewling and Fahrenkamp signed due pass, attached 4-0 fiscal note. Senator Zemanski signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill, or rather the Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered this bill. Recommends be replaced with the committee substitute CNRA. Senator Sturgiluski, Chairman, and Senators Kelly, Zaroff, and Zemanski signed due pass. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends adoption of the CNRA CS and due pass, signed Senator Binkley, co-chairman, concurring Senators Zaroff, Duncan, Fisher, Ewling, Hensley, and Bennett.
Senator
unanimous consent for the adoption of a committee substitute for Senate Bill 162 CRA.
Hearing no objections, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 165 has been adopted and is before us.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 162 CNRA by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to fisheries business tax refunds to local government and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
There is an amendment number one by Senator Zaroff on page 2, line 1, after the word city, insert that is located. In the same line, after the word borough, delete that is.
Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Madam President. At the request of the legal division there, that this may help to clarify the question there about a city and a borough, or a newly formed city after the borough has been established. And I think this would clarify that. So I would move the amendment and ask for unanimous consent.
Hearing no objections, amendment number one has been adopted. Thank you, Senator. Is there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Committee and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 162, amended, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading in place of the final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 162, as amended by the Senate, is advanced to third reading and is before us for final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 162, CNRA amended, an act relating to fisheries business tax refunds to local government and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Madam President. when the bill was originally introduced, there were a number of concerns that were expressed and calls to my office asking what we were doing with this piece of legislation and what was happening to the existing boroughs. I would like to state and reassure those individuals, as I did at that time, as well as the municipalities, that this does not affect existing boroughs. This is only to affect any new boroughs that are formed, and there are discussions now where that communities are discussing in the formation of boroughs, which I think is a good thing for them to do because in regards to the Mandatory Borough Act, and I think we're beginning to see more of this. But one of the concerns that we've had, particularly in coastal communities where we have the raw fish tax, where 50% goes back to the various communities, we didn't want that impact to be all at once on the cities that were already there. And over a four-year period, that would diminish 5% each year until it reaches a point where it shared 25% for the borough and 25% for the city that would be located within that new borough. And through the committee activities and discussions that we've had with the department, this pretty much would go along with the amount of money that is established or set aside for the formation of the new boroughs, so that it wouldn't be at least an impact or a negative impact on either the new borough or the cities within.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion? Question's been called. The question being, shall the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 162 as amended pass the State Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 162, as amended by the State Senate, has passed the State Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 excused. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 162, CNRA, amended, be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on the final passage of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 162 as amended will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Senate Resolution Number 8 by Senators Curtillo and Josephson relating to the Armenian Genocide. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution. Senator Abood, Chairman, and Senators Fakes, Josephson, Ewling, and Hensley signed do pass with a zero fiscal note.
Is there any discussion? Senator Curtillo.
The past two presidents spoke to this. Congress essentially was responsible for providing over $100 million to support the people that suffered under this problem. And we are one world, and the world is shrinking, and it's small, and we're part of it. And I think it's all nations and all states ought to recognize what has happened. Maybe that memory will carry into the present so it doesn't repeat itself.
Further discussion? Further discussion on Senate Resolution 8. Question's been called. The question being, shall Senate Resolution 8 pass the State Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so Senate Resolution Number 8 has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 excused. Brings us down to the citation calendar.
Citations honoring Miles Brown National Merit Scholar by Representatives Sund and Taylor and Senator Jones. A citation honoring the Valdez Buccaneers Wrestling Team 1987 State AAA Champions by Representatives Cato and Navarre, Senators Zemanski, Rohde, and Curtula. honoring Jack Lunster, wrestler from Palmer High School, by Representatives Menard, Collins, Larson, and Navarre, and Senators Szymanski and Curtula. In memoriam, Arthur Upikson, by Senators Hensley, Strzelecki, Szymanski, Rohde, and Hallford, and Representative Adams. In memoriam, Mildred Parsons, by Representatives Gruenberg, Donnelly, and Pierce, and Senators Rohde, Strzelecki, Szymanski, and Hallford.
Is there any discussion? Senator Fisher?
So I move and ask unanimous consent that I be added to the citations on both the Valdez wrestling team as well as the Palmer High School wrestler.
Without objection, Senator Fisher will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Valdez wrestling team and the Palmer wrestler citations. Further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that citations appearing on today's calendar be adopted by the Senate.
Hearing no objections, the citations on today's calendar have been adopted by the State Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the publication of notice requirements be suspended and the citation honoring Joe Cooper be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Hearing no objections, the citation honoring Joe Cooper is before us as a special order of business at this time. Is there any discussion? Senator Binkley?
Madam President, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be added as an additional sponsor on this.
Hearing no objections, Senator Binkley will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Cooper citation. Senator Coghill?
Just briefly, Madam President, Joe Cooper has been the superintendent of schools for the Yukon-Koyukuk School District since its inception. He spent 25 years teaching in Nome, Galena, Fort Tunalege, has been a resident of Nenana. He's presently the mayor of Nenana. He'll be retiring from the school district, but he plans on keeping his home in Alaska. They're going to be having a retirement party for him next week, and that's a timely reason for the call.
Sir, further discussion? Senator Fahrenkamp.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on this.
Hearing no objection, Senator Fahrenkamp will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Joe Cooper citation. Further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be adopted by the Senate.
Hearing no objections, the Cooper citation has been adopted by the State Senate. Is there unfinished business? Senator Strzelecki.
Yes, I move to waive HB 231 relating to the Eagle River Greenbelt Exchange from the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It's identical to SB 221, which the Community and Regional Affairs Committee unanimously recommended do pass on the 10th of April. I ask unanimous consent.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 231 relating to the Eagle River Greenbelt has been waived from the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Is there any further unfinished business? Senator Ewing. Should be Resources Committee. Is that correct, Madam Secretary? Is the next committee of referral on House Bill 231? Senate will stand at ease. To order to respond to the senator from downtown Anchorage, the further committee referral to House Bill 231 is the Resources Committee. Further unfinished business. Are there announcements? Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I'll try this once. Rules Committee is meeting in the belts at 1 o'clock. We have 9 Senate bills, 1 joint resolution, a House joint resolution, and 1 House bill, and I'll post the list on the bulletin board on the way out.
Thank you, sir.
1 o'clock.
Thank you. Further announcements? Senator Coghill.
Madam President, at 1:30 this afternoon, Senate Committee on Resources will meet. We'll be taking up Senate Resolution 22, which is a natural gas pipeline development, Senate Bill 81, Alaska Power Authority, Senate Bill 23, Rights in Agricultural Land, Senate Resolution 14, the BLM Utility Corridor Management Plan, Senate Resolution 7, which is the Arctic Coastal Wildlife Refuge. Then tomorrow, Madam President, we'll be having confirmation hearings on the board, the marine pilots, the fisheries, the game board and the guide board, and we'll have all of the members that are up will be at their respective towns where that any member of the Senate or the legislature can ask them questions. We'll be doing that from 9 until noon and from 1 until 4, and then and that'll be statewide. And then on Monday, we'll be taking up Senate Bill 190, which is the bridge at Point Park, Senate Bill 114, disapproval of the coastal zone management plans, committee substitute for House Bill 54, the earthquake and volcano hazard projects, and committee substitute for House Bill 59, judiciary, which is recycling and reduction of litter.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Senator Curtula.
3:30, the judiciary will continue on with its confirmation hearings. The Attorney General is up next, and we'll have a statewide teleconference or an area-wide teleconference on Senate Bill 32 by Senator Fisher, recriminalization of marijuana.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Special orders this afternoon. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. Request the privilege of the floor to speak on Umatopsis jubatus and
Hearing
other
no
cute
objections,
things.
You may have the privilege of the floor for that terminology.
And other cute things, I guess. Madam President, recently in the Kodiak paper, and I believe also in the Anchorage Daily News over the past week, we have seen articles that relate to sea lions, and the Umatopsis jubatus, I guess, is the correct, I don't know if it's the right pronunciation, but it's getting close to the terminology of the sea lion. And what had happened, I guess, that there was a fisherman working on the back of his boat, and he's about 220 pounds, and one of these little sea lions, weighing about a little less than a ton, jumped right up there and bit him in the derriere and pulled him over. And according to the article at that time, that he was down about 7 feet and was able to work himself loose and came up and didn't sustain any other damages other than a few scratches. But the point is, I guess, that these sea lions have been hanging around in the harbors of Kodiak, and people have been feeding them, and as we have a tendency to do with other cute wild things in nature, that we think it's kind of the humanly thing to do, but we don't realize what the consequences are. And I guess my concern is that quite often with coastal communities and harbors like Kodiak, we do see a lot of small punts or 14-foot, 16-foot skiffs that children are out in, and there's a very good possibility that the sea lion may decide that there's some food on board, and a young child not weighing 220 pounds would have some difficulty breaking away, and as well as some adults would have that problem. So I think that the article that was in the paper today probably sums it the best by saying that wild animals are best left alone to pursue their own natural instincts. And I would certainly hope that people would do this, that you know, that they've been fending for themselves as far as obtaining their food for many years, and when we come in to be humanly concerned about them and try to feed them, from which is different from their natural gatherings, that problems do occur and they become dependent upon that. They train themselves very easily and quickly to go where their source of food is available, and sometimes they become quite aggressive when they don't get what they expect. So we need to be careful, and we need to encourage our constituency to be the same. And in the water, in this case, it's a sea lion. On land, it's the bear. So we need to be careful. Thank you.
Is there further special order? Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Madam President. Move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor to speak momentarily on the oil patch.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you do have the floor.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to call the attention of the body just a couple of things, and it'll only take a moment. The Petroleum Intelligence Weekly has just announced prices will hold for the rest of 1987, the forecasters believe. Again, the Wall Street Journal, 28th of April, and I might quote, petroleum prices will hold around the current level of $18 a barrel and then rise before the end of the year. I think the thing that's of interest is that the Cambridge Institute is forecasting $18 to $20 barrel oil. The state of Alaska, I mean, the state of Alabama is budgeting on $19 oil. The Petroleum Intelligence, again, says 18 plus. The Wall Street Journal says 18 plus. The Hudson Institute says 18 plus. Most all of the CEOs of the major corporations are budgeting theirs, very, very conservative, at $15 oil. Yesterday, Gulf Coast price on Alaska North Slope crude was $17.93. Our state budget by this administration is based on $13 oil. I think maybe it's time that we consider a new forecast, and I think maybe they should relook and rethink the situation. It seems like we're the only one in the whole world that's in step, and maybe the rest of the world ought to change step. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, sir. Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.
Hearing no objections, the Senate will be adjourned until 11 a.m. Monday.